My wife told me to stop impersonating a flamingo. I had to put my foot down. Is there a couple more? I'm here all week. I used to think I was indecisive, but I'm not so sure now.
Amen.
There's two more. A recent study has found that women who carry a little extra weight live longer than the men who mention it. Here you go, last one. Before you criticise someone, walk a mile in their shoes. That way, when you do criticise them, they're a mile away and you have their shoes.
There's something.
Right, thanks Ruth. So, I'm going to start talking today about something God's put on my heart, which is honour. Last time I did a series on forgiveness, this is going to be a series on honour. I did think it was going to be a one talk, but it's so huge. I'm splitting it up. So, this is what I believe God wants us to know, not just know about, but to live by it, to have each of you have a tattoo of honour on you that you wear through your life. So first of all, before we talk about honour, there is a culture of dishonour in our world today, which people struggle with. And it's possible to have a spirit of dishonour, a disrespect, a criticise of people, putting people down to make you feel better. How can we show dishonour? Just a couple of examples. We can show dishonour with refusing to do something that we're asked to. Or you did it, but you actually grumbled about it afterwards. You can dishonour with what you say as well, or with your attitude towards things. Dishonour actually shuts down what God has put in the life. Is this blocking your breakthrough? Whoever you honour is opened up. I heard this saying. Whoever you honour is opened up to you. And whoever you shut down is closed. Whoever you honour is opened up to you. And whoever you shut down, you close. Even if you don't agree with what someone says, you can continue to honour them for what God is working in their lives. We don't need to agree with everything that people say. We can eat the fish and spit out the bones. So in the talks and things, it's for you as well to judge, not to judge, but to discern what God is saying. And sometimes there are some bones. So, you know, I'd challenge you to encourage you to leave them behind. So when someone offends you, you can take on a spirit of dishonor and block yourself from ever receiving from what God has through that person again. Does that make sense to you? I think I've been aware of that. If someone offends you, you can be like then keeping a distance physically from the person and also emotionally and not listening. This is all in a culture of dishonour. Dishonour can devalue people for whom God has placed a high value on. So who are we to dishonour people? Dishonour diminishes the church of potential operating or experiencing the miraculous. God could be at move in someone, but we shut them down. Or, you know, and by that it dishonours and it restricts what God is doing. So today, I declare a spirit of honour over you, individuals, and in this house.
Amen.
Amen. Let us, the church, be a people that value honour, embrace it, and represent Jesus to the world. So, we're going to move on to some scripture. And Aaron Rachel's going to help us read in a moment. So in Romans 12, to give you some background on this, Paul is giving us a short list of short commands to those who are in Christ, and he's describing what it means to live as a self-sacrificing Christian. So Rachel's going to read Romans 12, 9 to 21.
Well,
yes.
Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited.
Keep going. Page 2.
Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Amen. Thank you. So the verse I'm going to dive into is number 10. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. And as I like to do, I'm just thinking, how does this verse sound in other versions of the Bible? So this is our NIV version, which we just read. How about the New Living Translation? Love each other with genuine affection. Take delight in honouring each other. Take delight in honouring each other. The Message says, be good friends who love deeply. Love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Putting other people in front of yourself. The New Living says, love each other with genuine affection. Take delight in honouring each other. That's the same as the other one. I got it twice.
Yeah.
Just making sure you're awake.
Amen.
Maybe you needed to hear that one twice, actually. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honouring each other. Genuine affection. Good news. Love one another warmly as Christians and be eager to show respect for one another. New Century Version. Love each other like brothers and sisters. Give each other more honour than you want for yourself. And lastly, my favourite, Amplified Bible. Be devoted to one another with authentic brotherly affection. As members of one family, we are one family. The wider church is one family. We're all part, all the churches are one family. Give preference to one another in honour. Authentic brotherly affection. So what does it mean to honour? To honour is to show great respect or place value on someone or something, especially in public. You probably know about the New Year's honours from the Queen or the King now. At each start of the year, he'll get to the list where he honours people. It's also in the US, there's a Medal of Honour. What's that? Does anyone know about the Medal of Honour? Duncan? Yeah. It's the highest reward for like American troops or the Navy and something for an act of valor that have done. The president awards it. That kind of gives you some idea of honor. A culture of honor celebrates a person without stumbling who they are not. We honor people for three reasons. They are made in the image of God. They have gifts planted in them by God, and the presence of God rests upon them. Everyone is worthy of at least the first two. Every single person is worthy of the first two. Honor, letting someone know you see how valuable they really are. But who should we honor? In this three or maybe four part series that I'll be doing, we'll be taking you on a journey focusing on honour and how we can all live in a culture of honour. And we'll be talking through the following areas. So honouring God, and I heard this mentioned as well, and it speaks a lot. We've got to get our vertical culture of honour right with God before we get our horizontal culture with each other. It's really important to have that. So today I'm going to be focusing on God, but in the future talks, we're going to talk about family, children, parents, spouse, church leaders and church family. That's going to be an interesting one. Older generation, workplace, your boss, government authorities, and others, which basically captures everyone. So we're going to be talking through these because honor needs to run through us through all of these areas. And actually, there's scriptures about all these areas in the Bible. So today we're going to focus on honoring God. To honor God means to give the highest regard, respect, reverence, admiration, adoration, or praise, submission, obedience, which is due to him. So let's take a moment. Rachel's going to use the flip chart. In what ways can we honour God? So have a think about it. In your life, what ways do we honour God? Yeah.
Okay, I'll kick it off.
Go on.
Right at the start, for me, and I guess for everybody, it involves an acknowledgement that he exists.
Yeah, that's good.
No one has ever seen
God. Good. Yeah. An acknowledgement of him exists. Yeah, that's good. Obedience.
Showing compassion for the poor.
Yeah, compassion for the poor.
Healing.
Yeah. Praying for healing?
Or like healer.
Healer, okay. Yeah.
His presence is always with us.
Yeah.
And accept the fact that he's done.
Yes. Constant presence.
Learning to trust him.
Yep.
Trust.
Attitude of gratitude.
Any others?
Giving him our time.
Yeah, that's a big one. Okay, that'll do for now. Thank you. Worshiping him with all our attitudes, our affections, and our actions. Revelation 4:11 says, "Worthy are you, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and the power, for you have created all things, because of your will they exist, and we and were created and brought into being." He's worthy of so much honor and glory and power. So there's five T's. Honor God with your time. Yep. Yeah, that's right, Duncan. We heard that in the car, actually. We were listening to a bit of a rocking song on the way to church this morning, and it was saying, "The truth, way, the truth, and the life." And I said to Duncan, "Who said that?" And Duncan said, "Jesus." So yeah, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you, Duncan, for reminding me. No, I don't want a software update. Right. So yeah, and using your time. How are you using the precious time you have to give God the glory? In Psalm 144:4, it says, "Man is like breath; his days are like a passing shadow." Just like Howard mentioned with someone in the family who passed away, we don't know our time here. We're only temporarily on this earth, and then we're off to somewhere else. So our time here is precious. So how are you using that to spend time with God? I saw something this morning and it said, had a slogan, "Find time for God." And then "find" was just scrubbed out and it says, "Make time for God." We don't just look at and try and find a slot. We purposely make time. And my goodness, I'm preaching to myself because I need to do this as well. So, but just because I'm speaking, I don't know. I haven't got everything together. God uses and he speaks to me through the sermons as well. So I acknowledge that this morning. So are you giving God time to spend time with him? Praying, reading, studying the Bible, listening to biblical worship, or even other worship which makes you focus on God. Journaling your thoughts down, prayers, getting time to quiet, to focus on how he's speaking in your life. Intentionally taking time out of a crazy busy day to spend time with your Creator. When you think of it like that, why would we not give time for that? Spend time with your Creator. My goodness, if you had to choose to spend time with someone, isn't that the one you'd want to choose first? So second T, honoring God with your talents. Talent is a God-given gift or ability. We can use the variety of gifts that God has given you to make a difference in this world. What are your talents? Does anyone know today, specifically for you, what your talent is? What gift has God given you particularly? What was that, Carol? Sorry? A voice to praise him. Yeah, that's a very good one. I know there's definitely some musical talents here. Don't be shy.
Ability to study.
Ability to study, yeah, that's good. Yeah, very good.
Ears to listen to God and to others.
Yeah, very good. Yeah,
hearing
brilliant.
Practicality, you have to do things.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Amen. And this is Mr. Practical, Barry. So are you using your talents for God?
Going to church.
Going to church, yeah, that's right. Yeah, you're prioritizing God by coming here to worship together, right? Yeah, that's right, yeah. And Duncan, in his spare time, often watches films, biblical films. So there's, was that particular one you like, Duncan?
King of Kings.
King of Kings, he watches, yeah. That's so good, Duncan, because you're focusing on God. Yeah, that's brilliant. I'm going to read that one. Right, swiftly moving on. The third T is temple. The temple, we sang that in the worship this morning. That is your body. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Understand that God created you. We need to take care of our bodies. He's given us these bodies. which means resting, getting good rest, eating well, looking after your body. Keeping pure. What do I mean on that? Purity as far as sexually pure, by having sex within a marriage and stuff like that, and committing your God. Purity is a big thing in a relationship with God, and very important to don't neglect, to abuse it. Don't neglect your body. Are you looking after your temple that God's resides in today? And don't you love this picture? That's exactly what we're like with the Holy Spirit living inside us to help us with every area of our life. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You don't belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. Honor God with your body, the temple of the Holy Spirit. Fourth T is treasure. This is your finances or possessions that you have. Are you honoring God with that? With the treasures that he has blessed you with? As Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And in Malachi it says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so there'll be enough food in the temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open up the windows of heaven for you and pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Wow, what a promise. If we are willing to give to God, he supernaturally enhances it back. And there's been so many testimonies about that. Are you honouring God with the treasures? Honour the Lord your God. Honour the Lord with your wealth and the first fruits of your produce, says in Proverbs. And the fifth one, honour God with your ticker. Heart doesn't begin with T, so there's a ticker, which means heart. Which, do you know, we're really blessed in this church because God's laid on Stephen's heart, God's heart. And Stephen really blesses us with his teaching about the heart. That we can really be aware of that and focus through everything. There are many Bible verses that encourage us to put God number one in our hearts. In Ezekiel 36, God said, I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit in you. Take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart.
Am I?
So, how's your heart this morning? Is it feeling stony? Do you need God to tenderize it into a more responsive heart? In Isaiah, it says, the Lord says, these people come to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules that they have been taught. It is possible to just follow rules and not have that heart-to-heart connection with God. And this scripture speaks exactly like the people who are just going through the motions but don't have that heart-to-heart connection with God, which is really important to have. So we honour God with our ticker. Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Is your heart open to God today? So some practical steps to honour God. We said a few things over there already. Start your day with him. Acknowledge that Holy Spirit is there with you. Some teachers have told us before, when you wake up, say good morning, Holy Spirit, and just have an awareness that Holy Spirit is there with you and to guide you. You know, ask Holy Spirit, what's on God's heart today, which is actually our heart as well. What do I need to do? And ask him for interactions to share your faith. Pray intentionally. Show affection regularly to him through your day. Imagine that you've got an ongoing connection through the day. You don't just come to church and meet God. He's there with you wherever you go. So have those connections and talk to him as you're doing things. And as things come into your mind, be thankful for it. Notice your complaints and turn them into praise. Now, this is one I find particularly hard. I don't know about you, but things come across my life where I can grumble and moan. And Rachel's nodding her head for some reason. But learn to turn those into praise, to change things around. Serve God. Many of you in this church serve God by doing so many amazing things. Nick plays the drum. Ruth does the laptop. Other people, the Stephen, the Christine lead. Actually, I can name all of you. Sue's a blessing. She supports Tammy. Keith does so much. Simon plays the worship. Carol inspires us with praying. Barry is really good and he inspires us on God's creation. Matthew is the sound desk man. Duncan prays, encourages us to pray for people. John comes with a wealth of wisdom and blessing for us. Howard does so much on the finance side. Our three deacons, Howard, Crispin and Keith, bless us so much in the background that you wouldn't believe what they do for us. Carlene and Nathan just bring constant joy. John is a real blessing and encouragement to me. And he does so much in the railways and through his ministry, through special friends. God has moved in his life. Rachel is the best wife ever. And that's probably everyone today. But I could just go on and on and on about turning compliments into praise. Complaints into praise. Serving God, about serving God. Thank you. Nick spoke at me. Bless you. Enjoy God's creation. Love others and love yourself. This is so important. That was in the first bit of that verse in Romans 12:10 about loving others. Spend time in the Bible. So just a few questions for you to ponder and to take away about how you're honouring God. Are you honouring God with what you speak through your days, throughout the week? In the Bible, in Proverbs, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. What you speak has power. Are you honouring God through that? Or are you not? Are you dishonouring God through that in the week? Are you honouring God with what you do through the week? In Corinthians, it says, so then whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it for the glory of our great God. Whatever you do through the week, give God the glory through it. Are you honouring God with your thoughts? I've got a Homer Simpson thinking very hard. In Philippians it says, and now, dear brothers, one thing, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honourable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. How much of your thought life is in dishonouring people or negative or worrying versus looking to God and giving him praise and honour and being expectant of an answer to your problem? I think there was a phrase once about worrying, and we said, to be a worrier is to lack trust in God that he has got our back and understand us and is there to support us. Are you honouring God with what you listen to? Whatever goes in here makes a difference. So what are you listening to in the week? Are you listening to things which will nourish you? Or are you listening to things which will bring your mood down and make you feel a bit more separated from God? I know there's so much out there at the moment. We can waste time listening to a lot of nonsense on YouTube or stuff. But is it really edifying you? Are you spending time with things that will honour God through you? In James 1, it says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Don't just listen to the word. Do what it says. There's a reason that God's put this in the Bible, which is our handbook for life. So are you honouring God? That's wrong. Are you honouring God with what you listen to? Actually, there's a testimony I'd like Rachel to say. She told me at breakfast this morning, and it fits in really well. Can you remember that testimony that you told me? Yeah.
About the lady was prophesying.
Yes.
So I only heard this briefly. Christy may have heard it as well, but I can't. I'll say what I remember because I only listened to it briefly. This lady was in a meeting and she was prophesying over people, and God spoke to her and said, "This man on the front row is living very. He's hitting his wife. He's a bad father. He's abusing his children. And he's a very evil man." And she was avoiding him, and because God had given her this word of knowledge about him, but God prompted her to go and speak to him. So she went to him and she prayed over him that he was a wonderful husband. She said to him, "You are a wonderful husband. You go home and you love your wife and you massage her feet, which is something I love. And you have a really good job and you work really, really hard in your job. And you come home and you look after your children. You take them away camping." It's obviously in America. You take them camping and fishing. Camping, and someone spoke to her afterwards and said, "What you said was absolute rubbish. I don't believe you. It's absolute rubbish." She said, "He said this man abused his wife, abused his children, can't hold down a job. You're talking absolute rubbish." A year later, this lady goes back to the same church, and the wife comes up to her and says, "You would not believe what happened." He says, My husband last weekend took my kids off camping and fishing. He's got a job. He's been promoted. He comes home every night and he massages my feet." Because what God had given her for this man was what God saw this man to be, not what he was. He also told her what he was at this present moment, but God saw what he was going to be. And that's what she spoke into his life. And the actual details were so specific, those few things about massaging feet, blah, blah, blah. It was God. And that's what she told him. She told her that was had actually happened.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. See, isn't that amazing? You know, not dishonouring that guy, but speaking into him for how God sees him and what his future will be. That guy could have just been written off, right, as a bad person. God's got a different plan. Are you honouring God with your heart? Above all, God wants my heart. God wants your heart. First, accepting Jesus Christ as Lord means putting him in charge of our lives and recognising his authority over all things. Second, recognising him as Saviour shows our acknowledgement of our own sin and need of saving. This is the best decision you will ever make, of accepting Jesus into your heart. It's the best decision I made many, many years ago in Elim Church. I knew about God before that because I was being brought up in church. I didn't have that heart-to-heart connection. I had all the knowledge, and I'm very grateful for my parents bringing me in that environment. But I had to take a step to say, invite Jesus into my heart. And then there's that heart-to-heart connection. And it changes everything. It's the best decision I made. And then the Holy Spirit will guide you. And hearing, actually, of Christine's sister really resonates with me, because hearing her story of how she was before she wasn't a Christian and we were praying, then she made that commitment. Now she's going to be baptized. That's amazing. And being baptized is probably, I don't know, I can't say it's even better than the first one. But it did. It enhanced my Christian experience of God. Because when we were baptized in Elim together, I was terrified of water. But it was fine, nothing to be worried about. But the whole experience of being baptized was just like God took me to another level. You know, I'd experienced him and I knew he was in my heart before. But the baptism was like that extra, I'm all in. And God comes in. So if anyone here has never been baptized, I really encourage you. It might look a bit scary, but it's amazing. We haven't had a baptism here for a while, and I remember distinctly Nathan and Gary and Karen when they were baptized here. And it's just such a wonderful event. And yes, Duncan. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's right. Well, we are a Baptist church and we believe in full immersion, baptizing. So, yeah, there's the infant baptism and other types of baptism, but as a Baptist church, we fully believe in a full immersion. And it's a sign of giving your life over. So as you go down, it's like you're saying death to your old life, and then you're rising up in new life. And that feeling, when you come out, can't beat any other feeling I think I've experienced so far in my life. And that's why I love watching videos of people being baptized. But I really encourage you, if you haven't done this, as Nike said, just do it. It will really encourage, bless you. So, worthy are you, Lord our God, to receive honor, glory, honor, and power. Our God is so worthy of all honor, glory, and power. We need to take this seriously and our vertical relationship with God. Spending time just focusing on him. Spending time to maybe pause in the day and saying, God, I worship you, I honor you. It's just so important. We're going to be doing it for eternity when we get to heaven. Why not let's really practice and get it good now while we're here on the earth? And when we do that, it will impact everything else around. So when we have that vertical honor of God and then start honoring people around us, it will impact. Let's pray. Yeah. Thank you, Father God, for this word. Thank you, Lord, that you deserve so much honor and glory and power. For you are the creator, God. You are the healer. You are the provider. There's just so many words. And thank you for this message. And may we just take this away and just examine ourselves of how we honor you through each thing of our lives, whether it's making a coffee or spending time specifically down with your word, or talking to others, showing love to others. May we just know you and sense you in a deeper way than we have yesterday. May today be a turning point in our relationship with you, where you will supernaturally enhance our relationship with you. And for anyone here this morning who needs that heart connection, you just need to say to God, give you my heart, Jesus, come in and reside and live and be with me. Yeah, thank you, God. Thank you, Father God, that you, as it says in your word, you give us life in fullness. And that fullness is by living close to you and with that heart-to-heart connection and honoring you. So we just commit this time today. May we go forward loving you more. Amen. If there's anyone at the end, Stephen's going to share a final song in a moment. If there's anyone at the end that would like some prayer or just to talk through something maybe God has triggered with you. Hi, Duncan. Mike, yeah, thank you for reminding me. Yeah. So we'll pray for that in a moment. So if anyone has prayer at the end.
I want prayer for my Gary.
Okay.
Gary.
Okay, good. Anyone else need prayer for something? Then let's spend a minute now praying. Let's lift up. So pray for Duncan's main carer called Mike. He's in hospital now. Yeah. And for Gary, who is
stepdad.
Yeah. So thank you, Father God, for Duncan and for Mike. And we lift up Mike now, who's in hospital. And just speak healing over that guy now. Whatever is wrong, we don't know what it is, but you know what it is. So we speak healing into his body. And also for Gary, who's on Carleen's heart, who's the stepdad. We just speak healing into Gary's life. In your name. Amen. Yeah. So may this just be a nudge for you this morning about honouring God in whatever you do. And then in the later talks, we'll start branching that out to the horizontal to others. But yeah, please feel free. If there's anything in the talk you want to talk to me about more or prayer, just come and speak to Rachel or myself afterwards. Thank you, Stephen.